Daily Drive is brought to you by Outsell, your brand on AI. Supercharge your database. Bring more value and grow a loyal customer base through predictive marketing. Learn more at outsell.com.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive for Wednesday, January 6th. Late last fall, when news went out of the charges against former Reynolds & Reynolds leader Bob Brockman, you could have heard a pin drop across the retail landscape. In simple terms, Brockman's stature and influence within the industry was as large as the company he was running. Reynolds & Reynolds' influence in the dealer management space cannot be overstated, and Brockman was the architect of the business. But news that he was facing charges rocked the retail world. Brockman faces 39 counts, including tax evasion, wire fraud, money laundering, and evidence tampering. He has pleaded not guilty. In November, Brockman stepped down from his roles as chairman and CEO of the privately held dealership management giant. This past Monday, there was more news in the case. To talk about the latest and to talk trends in the retail space in 2021, we've reached my colleague Lindsay Van Hulley in Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Lindsay. Happy New Year.
Hi, Jason. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. And we go into a new year, but you're into a story that you've now been working on for a few months going into last year. It's a big story in the automotive retail and technology space, and it involves Bob Brockman. And the former CEO of Reynolds & Reynolds had some news earlier this week. What happened on Monday that changed the course of this case?
On Monday this week, a federal judge in California issued an order that allows the case against Bob Brockman to be transferred to a federal court in Texas, closer to his home in Houston. It had followed a motion that his attorneys had filed late last year to move the case for a number of factors, including his residence and some of the health conditions that he has been facing. And there was a hearing about it in which, prosecutors and defense attorneys laid out their arguments for and against. And the judge issued the order on Monday. And so he cited some of those factors. There's a number of factors that have to be considered before that kind of transfer request can be made, including the location of the defendant, the location of witnesses, the location of events related to the case. And the judge wrote that after reviewing all of those considerations, the case should be transferred to the court closer to Houston, partly because of some of the declining health conditions that have been outlined in the case. Policy from the U.S. Department of Justice, he cited, that attempts to prosecute criminal tax cases closer to where a taxpayer lives or works to have a deterrent effect. And essentially, that would be the rationale for moving it. He wrote that, in the interest of justice, it should be tried where venue is unquestionably proper, and that is the place of his residence. So at this point, that is the latest in this case, and it will be headed to that Texas court.
So what implications would that have for Mr. Brockman as the case moves forward? Obviously, you cited his declining health. Is there anything else that makes this that affects this in any way, advantageous or not?
It's certainly closer to his home. I think the argument that the defense attorneys had made is that because he is in poor health, having to travel to California could be difficult, and there are a number of witnesses that will. That are in the Houston area that will be able to testify. There's also the issue of a competency hearing that has been raised, and that right now it has not been decided, but those proceedings, it appears, will be playing out in Texas.
Prosecutors had a different argument when this first went up for consideration, didn't they?
They did. They noted that some of the activities alleged in the complaint involving tax evasion and wire fraud took place in California, that there are witnesses that had been contacted who are in California. And those were all the factors that the judge had to weigh. And in this case, it turned out that his view was that the case is more appropriate to be pursued in Texas.
We'll hear more from my colleague Lindsay Van Hulley in just a moment.
Outsell, your data-fueled, brain-powered brand on AI. Like a moon landing, technology takes us places we couldn't before imagine. And now, mind-reading technology for car dealers. That's Outsell, and it's one giant step into the future. Outsell harnesses the immense power of artificial intelligence, enabling you to have a continuous relationship with thousands of customers throughout the customer journey. In plain speak, Outsell is the first automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI. Outsell automatically builds and maintains a relationship with your customers using the most effective channels. When they need you, you're there, with information, an offer, the solution. Customers demand value. Outsell creates the kind of value prized by your best customers, a relationship that demonstrates your loyalty to them, loyalty that creates retention. For hundreds of dealerships across the country, Outsell has replaced antiquated marketing efforts with AI-powered predictive marketing. Dealerships aren't adding another expense. They're eliminating what isn't working and replacing it with a superpower. It's time to talk with Outsell about automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI and how it will find, create, and nurture your current and future customers. It's time to outsell everyone. Learn more at outsell.com.
So, Lindsay, what are the next steps now? What should we be watching for going forward with this very controversial, high-profile case?
The next big action appears to be a motion seeking a competency hearing. And this is not related to competency that would determine guilt or innocence. This is a competency hearing to determine whether Bob Brockman is able to assist in his defense. He was indicted back in October on charges including tax evasion, wire fraud, money laundering. Prosecutors allege that he built a scheme over two decades that evaded taxes on $2 billion in income. So he's pleaded not guilty, and the case is proceeding. And his attorneys late last year filed a motion seeking a competency hearing to determine whether he can assist in his defense. And that's both the motion to transfer the case and also the motion for a competency hearing. Both cited some health conditions that he's facing. He had consulted with multiple physicians a couple of years ago and had been diagnosed with symptoms that indicate Parkinson's disease or Lewy body dementia, and his condition is progressive, according to his attorneys. And that has affected his ability to process and retain information. So that's, citing, family and his physicians and his attorney's experience working with him, that there's, concerns that he'll be able to aid in a full defense. Prosecutors have responded and said that while they agree that a competency hearing is warranted in this case, the fact that Bob Brockman continued in the top roles at Reynolds & Reynolds and did not step down until November after charges were filed raised questions about, whether he's actually able to assist in his defense. So the motion hearing that would be next is not the competency hearing itself. It would be a hearing to lay out the arguments for and against the competency hearing. In this case, it appears that both prosecutors and defense attorneys have written that they believe that the one is warranted. So there's a process that will play out in that sense. But that hearing has not happened yet.
You cover retail technology for Automotive News, and it can't be understated the importance and the power that a person like Bob Brockman had over this industry. What's going on at Reynolds & Reynolds right now?
Bob Brockman stepped down from his roles as chairman and CEO back in November. He's no longer with the company, and they have new leadership at the helm in Tommy Barris, who had been promoted to president and COO back in June. He's now taken over immediately as CEO. So the company is continuing under that new leadership. Reynolds has not been accused of any wrongdoing in the government's case against Bob Brockman. And it is said, Reynolds has said that the government's allegations involve activities that Bob Brockman engaged in outside of his roles with Reynolds, and that the company is confident in the integrity and strength of its business. So it's continuing now. under new leadership.
Retail technology in 2021, you saw so much change through the course of 2020, probably things that you could not have imagined or the dealers couldn't have imagined. How much has the pandemic really accelerated dealership operations? We've had so many people on this program talk about it, but I want your perspective from the retail technology side.
I think it's hard to overstate just how much of an impact the pandemic had on really speeding up dealers moving in that kind of digital direction. You know, online retailing had been around for a while, and it had been a slower transition, I think, than other industries that have moved into the e-commerce space. And, you know, it's difficult to buy a car online. You know, it's a big purchase. People want to see it. They want to ask questions about it. They want to see features. They want to test drive it. They want to do all of these things before they sign the paperwork. And so, you know, a lot of that had been kind of moving more slowly. And, you know, come March 2020, a bunch of dealerships in states across the country were suddenly faced with having to do business digitally and remotely or not at all, just given some of the state and local business restrictions that came down during the pandemic. And so what happened was, in order to do business, to serve customers, they had to kind of spin up or enhance these digital offerings. And so we saw dealers taking up new digital retailing platforms for the first time, learning about all of the features that maybe they didn't use fully, and engaging those, creating omni-channel processes that really kind of aim to make a seamless transition between online and in person. There were test drives at home, deliveries to customers' driveways so they didn't have to come into the dealership. On the service side, there were lots of contactless options, photos and videos and mobile payment and all of those sorts of things that really helped reduce some of the face-to-face in-person contact when, you know, health and safety were a big concern for many customers. And so all of that has sort of continued, even as the restrictions eased and even as sales continued and people began to return to stores again. A lot of these processes, because they were in place, have now sort of become business as usual. And so, you know, even when, you know, people could return to stores, some of these dealerships were not doing away with some of those features. And so I've heard people describe this transition is moving, you know, a matter of years in just a few months. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see how some of those trends and some of those process changes will develop and evolve going into 2021.
So what trends should we be watching? You wrote a little bit about this in the first issue of the year, but what retail tech trends would you highlight for our listeners?
I think the omni-channel piece that I talked about before is going to be one to watch. There's been talk about it. There's been work on those kinds of seamless processes for a while, but it's not always frictionless. You know, you'll hear stories about customers who started online and they submitted all of this information, and then they get to a store and the store can't find it, and you know, things like that make it difficult to pick up. You know, dealers have said ideally what would happen is, you know, you would start online and you hit save and you'd come in and we would find all of the work that you've already done, and it would save you time and it would make the process faster. You know, we'd be able to kind of move on, you know, exactly where you left off. And so I've had some people tell me just over the last, you know, several months that, you know, with all of this digital retailing software and technology and some of the new features that vendors have spun up over the last year, that, you know, that could help smooth out that kind of omni-channel process and make that more seamless for people who want to go end-to-end online or want to do some of it online and then do the rest of it in store. So that's certainly going to be one. I think, you know, wet signatures could be something to watch, whether the pandemic has created some momentum around changing some regulatory policies and laws that will allow online signatures, which would be it would reduce that need for someone to physically come in and sign a piece of paper. Whether that will happen, I think, will be something to watch for this year.
So many stories to watch for. Obviously, we will stay on top of the Reynolds and Reynolds piece. We'll be reading everything that you write about it, and in a very fascinating tale that ended 2020 that will go into 21. Lindsay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jason.
We reached Lindsay Van Hulley in Lansing, Michigan. And that's Daily Drive for Wednesday, January 6th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of nearly 200 interviews, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Thursday.